time for Wednesday's hour number two on hashtag Daily K with your host, Peter Bint. Korean dramas, movies, and even lyrics. Why is the world paying attention to Korean stories?
From classics to modern masterpieces, time to dig deep into the charms of Korean literature.
On Check It Out!
With Paul.
December the 6th, it's a Wednesday, and Mr. Matthews is joining us in the studio for Check It Out. Good morning, Sir Paul.
Good morning, Mr. Bint.
How are we doing this fine first December Wednesday that we meet?
It is. It was also my wife's birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to her.
Remember the 5th of December.
Yeah.
Paul's wife's birthday. Gunpowder and plot.
No gunpowder.
No treason.
No treason.
Good
very
stuff.
Little plot.
What do you usually do for the missus on her birthday?
Well, it's nice to go out for a meal.
Do you get her a surprise present or do you ask her what she wants?
Oh, no, I don't ask.
No.
Nah.
So you've been married now, what, a long time?
It's not that long. It's like 15 years.
15 years. That's at
least. Been together for 23.
Oh, wow. So that is a long time. 23 birthdays together. Have you not run out of different ideas for birthday presents?
No, because you don't just get one. You get a mix.
Oh.
Do you only give your missus one present for her birthday?
One main one, yeah. And then
a
kiss or two.
That's so stingy.
No, my kisses are priceless. That's what some people say.
Yeah, your kids have told me they're not. Your kids have told me your kisses are stinky.
My daughter definitely agrees with that. So what have you bought memorably over those 23 years?
Well,
does anything stick out in the mind, or is it all just rubbish, basically?
It's not rubbish.
Is it from the Pyeongy Jom convenience store?
The odd present might be, you know, because you put the cheap stuff with the expensive stuff. But normally it's either going to be a piece of art, perhaps, that I think she'll like, or a piece of jewellery that she might like, or a piece of electronics, like a new computer or a tablet.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's whatever strikes me. Sometimes it's a collection of not necessarily one big gift, but just lots of nice little gifts.
Aww.
Like a selection of books and trinkets and bits and pieces.
That's lovely, isn't it?
It's nice to change things up, because if it's always, well, you're going to get one big thing, then the pressure's on.
That's true.
For both of you, because you're like, what's he going to get me this year?
Spread the disappointment across lots of small gifts.
Well, no, but the thing is that they have to be meaningful.
Yeah.
You can have the odd fun little gift here and there, but there has to be a reason why you buy something for someone,
I think. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, otherwise, what's the point of it all?
It's not sincere at all.
In the same way that if you just buy your kids random presents for Christmas or Children's Day, are they going to be happy? No. You have to intuit what you think they will love.
They are happy for about 30 seconds, even if it's random junk. But then you're right.
But you know, the best present, if you know what Gio or Ellie are really into, what's going to make their smile carry on all day, then you do your best to get it.
That is absolutely true. Good tips as Christmas is just around the corner.
Oh no, got to buy them more presents.
Oh dear,
are you getting me a present this year for Christmas?
Of course not. Happy World Soil Day.
I thought we could exchange presents.
That was also on December 5th.
Well, today's December 6th, so it's not World Soil Day anymore.
No, but for your wife's birthday, if you made such a hoo-ha, I hope that also for the meaningful World Soil Day, as declared at the UN General Assembly in 2013, you would have marked it with something.
Well, I gave her the presents on Earth.
I guess that counts in some small way, shape,
Are we not going to exchange gifts?
Me and you?
Yeah.
On December 5th, your wife's birthday?
No, on Christmas.
That would be lovely.
Yeah.
I think
We'll have a talk about it off air.
Have we done that before?
We've never done that.
So.
You never buy anybody presents.
No, I don't.
I know Mini PD Nim has always wanted a Christmas present from you, and yet she's never got one.
Well, you know, she has to up her game a little bit. Gifts don't come for free. Isn't that the point of a gift?
Christmas is not transactional, Peter.
Listen, I will do what I like. We've got Dreamin' Ella on board saying good morning to you, Paul. Benny is here as well saying happy birthday to Paul's wife. You can pass that on to her.
I will.
My wife, actually, I think she's more cheered up by hearing that our listeners wish her a happy birthday than me. You know, she's like, oh, that's nice. Like, I'm not even on the radio, but thank you for that. See, that's what I make. I make my wife's dreams come true like that.
Yeah, again, I've talked to your kids and they disagree.
Today, we are doing something that we don't do too often, but it's certainly important. A bit of poetry, a bit of tradition.
Yeah, I've had complaints. They want more poetry. So I've got more poetry this season.
Okay.
I've got more poetry coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
But this one is an online free book, so anyone can read it. You're not going to have to be out of pocket for this. It's called Shijo Rhythms. And it contains the work of six different poets.
Oh.
It's translated by Kevin O'Rourke, who sadly passed away a few years ago.
Oh.
But he's left behind these great translations. He translated a lot of poetry.
Uh-huh.
And this one is a fantastic introduction to Shijo, which I think many people who have a passing interest in Korea may not be familiar.
No.
Those who study Korean traditional culture, yeah, you may know about it, but mm-hmm. for those who don't, this is a really good way to get to know Shijo.
Yeah.
And the perfect way maybe to start to fall in love with Shijo.
I did some filming with Professor Mark Peterson about a month ago now, and he's an expert in Korea. He's been coming here since, I believe, the 60s. And so he is head over heels with all things Korea. But his mission later in life, he must be in his 70s now,
right,
is to get Shijo more well-known, just like, I don't know, Japanese haikus are well-known across the world. Because we studied them, I think I'm right in saying, maybe you as well. Me, certainly, in the UK, in primary
school. In passing, yeah. It's because it's a simple form of poetry for kids to write. You've got your 5-7-5 syllables. And,
yeah.
And Shijo are different, I should say. This is not, this doesn't come from Japan. This is Korea's own poetry form. But yeah, it's really good to share different styles of poetry. And especially because the style of Shijo is all about appreciating the things around you.
Mm.
It's not some highfalutin, philosophical, I don't know, whiff-waffy sort of poetry. It's poetry about the here and now, about your experiences.
Hey, Mark Peterson, I don't think we're going to do it today, otherwise that would really be ruin it. But it was a Shijo about a guy who was going to be killed for betraying the new king, I think. And it was really meaningful, powerful, poignant, punchy, and like you said, not whiff-waffy, airy-fairy.
Whiff-waffy.
Oh, sorry.
Whiff-waffy.
I apologise. Down in London, we say whiff-waffy.
No, that's what Boris Johnson used to say. Talk about the whiff-waffy, the whiff-waffs.
Tell us a little bit about the authors, then.
Okay, we're only going to feature three of them today.
Okay.
There are six in total. There's E.E., who's probably the most famous, then mm-hmm. Chong Chol, then Yun Sondo, then Kim Soo-jang, An Min-young, and also an anonymous poet. And they're sort of six of the major Shijo writers of their times.
This is from way back when we're talking.
Yes, we're talking about a few hundred years ago. And so today we're going to look at E.E., at Chong Chol, and An Min-young, and I'll introduce them as we go for each one. So I'll give you a little bio after we sort of have a moment with their poetry.
That sounds like a great idea, Paul. So, the translator, you say, unfortunately, Kevin O'Rourke passed away a few years ago, but we featured Mr. O'Rourke.
Yeah, in the early days of this corner, we featured quite a few of his translations, some of his classic short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark Peterson, he had been in Korea for a very long time. He was an Irish Catholic priest who came to Korea in 1964.
Wow.
And he spent the rest of his life here. He was actually the first foreign national to get a PhD in Korean literature from a Korean university.
What an accolade.
Yeah, and then he taught. He taught at Kyung University. He won the Korean National Literature Prize in 1989 for his poetry translations. And there are lots of his translations out there. Unfortunately, because of the way the publishing industry works, it gets harder and harder to find his work because it was published a while ago. But luckily, we have these online collections available for free, which means that we can still experience the immense hard work and also his immense talent in translating Korean poetry.
Yeah, this is a tricky one, poetry, right? Because, yeah, again, referring back to Professor Peterson, when you translate it into English, you've got to kind of stick to that structure of Shijo as well, and that's got to be really difficult. I know literature and novels are difficult as well, but I think this is just a whole different type of difficulty.
It's when you have a set form or rhythm or rhyme or any kind of way that the language must be used, it becomes very difficult, and that means you can't just literally translate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just becomes Well, it's not a poem anymore.
Yeah.
So the great thing about Kevin O'Rourke is that he's able to sort of manipulate his own language to echo the feeling of the poems.
Okay, so tell us a bit about Shijo.
I'm sorry we don't have your friend Mark Peterson on the show to
explain.
It would
be great, yeah, because he's very passionate.
Shall I leave?
No, because he can't make it.
So these are traditional short Korean songs, basically, and they have these set patterns, and they're all very personal. So the poet or the singer is going to be telling us about their life, about friendship perhaps, of wine, of beauty, of nature, of old age. And traditionally, these were not poems you would read in a book. These poems would be sung at a party.
Ah, wow.
So instead of having norebang time, you would have shijo time.
You would choose your favourite shijo, get the lyrics on the screen.
Well, you would have people creating shijo for the party. Mm. Maybe they want to praise the host or entertain their friends.
Yeah.
And the first poems we're going to feature come from Yi. His pen name was Yulgok. If you've ever been to Korea, if you've ever taken out your wallet, you will be familiar with him because he's on the 5001 note.
He's the guy with the rather fancy hat on, I suppose you could describe him.
Yes, and so he's sort of a very well-respected scholar and poet. And the poems we're going to look at, it's from a part of a series called The Nine Scenic Glories of Gosan. And they were written in his later years, and he's sort of telling us about where he lives and what he appreciates about this beautiful area.
Lovely, yeah. Just one thing to add about shijos, I'm just looking on the Wikipedia page for this because I don't remember off the top of my head. They do follow some kind of syllable structure, usually like three lines, 14 to 16 syllables, and then in total 42 to 48. There is a bit of leeway there.
There is, and so Kevin O'Rourke, he explains how he's translated them in the book, and he's put them into five lines in English, but those match the patterns and the rhythms of the Korean.
Oh, nice. Okay, let's take it away from EE.
The nine scenic glories of Gosan are unknown to the world of men. From grass I've cut, I weave my hut, friends all come to visit. In imagination, I'm on Wee Mountain, studying Shuji. First is the sun lighting Crown Rock. Mist lifts from verdant fields. Far and near are painted scenes. The green wine jar I set among the pines, and I watch the approach of friends. Second is spring coming late to Flower Rock. I float petals down green waters, sending them to distant fields. The world knows nothing of this place. I think I shall be beauty's herald. Third is green foliage spread across kingfisher screen. When mountain birds sing high and low on green waters, balmy breezes blow through stunted pines. Summer disappears. Fourth is the sun crossing pine cliff. Rocks shadowed in the water reflect a myriad of colors. Woods and springs, the deeper, the better. I cannot contain the tingle I feel.
I don't know, I felt like you said, it might be sung at a party or recited at a party. I could imagine that all the friends come in to visit and the wine jar out there and then talking about this place as a hidden gem almost.
Yeah, he's enraptured by where he gets to live and that nobody else really knows or cares about it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I know about the scenic glories of Gosan.
Well, now you do.
Well, we know about the four in this. So it's titled The Nine Scenic Glories. Is there like a part two to this poem?
Well, I couldn't feature all of them, otherwise we'd have no time to talk.
This is true.
All right, so the fifth is his secluded screen, he calls it, where it's cool and clean and where he can study and teach and sing the wind and recite the moon. The sixth is a lake where he goes fishing and he wonders who enjoys the water more? Is it him or the fish? The seventh is the autumn colours and the joys of sitting on a cold rock and forgetting about home. The eighth is about the bright moonlight on the creek as he plays music for his own pleasure. And finally, the ninth is about the winter setting sun on the mountain where there are no sightseers coming, but he knows there are many sights to see.
Oh, that sounds kind of meaningful and like all coming back full circle and across the seasons as
well.
Yeah,
it feels like a year in the life of E.E. And where he settled perhaps for his final years. Mm. And it's beautiful. I love that this is not trying to be too special or too fancy. It's just an old man who's found a wonderful place to live and is talking about the things he loves the most.
Mm.
And that's the great thing about Shijo. It's so personal.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm familiar with a place called Khorsan.
Nose Mountain.
Khorsan. But looking on the map, it does seem to be located maybe in Gangwon-do Province, which is also in North Korea, for anyone who doesn't know. That was kind of split into two.
Yes, and well, Gangwon-do Province is famed for its beauty.
Mm.
We think of Cholodo is famed for its food.
Yeah.
We think of Gyeongsan-do is famed for its spice.
Mm-hmm.
And Gangwon-do is famed for its beauty.
Yeah, amazing mountainous ranges down there, the Taebaek Mountain. And the South Korean part is not too shabby, of course, but I wonder, wouldn't it be nice to travel up into North Korea to see that?
Not right now.
No, not right now. I don't advise it now.
So, I mean, just the Nine Scenic Glories of Gosan, it's worth getting this book because it's free to read these Nine Scenic Glories. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous 10-piece poem.
Oh, really? It's a 10-piece poem.
Well, I just gave you the other...
That was
five pieces. We had five.
Yeah. Okay, so you add them together.
Makes 10.
And it's like some kind of transformer coming together.
No, it's a series of poems.
That's a terrible description.
That was awful, Peter.
Second poet up next.
Jong Jo. He was many things in his life, not just a poet. He was also a royal inspector, governor, a personal secretary to the king, and a general of the army.
Well, that's a lot of things. Yeah, the scholarly people, the Yangban, they would do many things, including their study and maybe passing the state exam.
Yes.
He is another example, not just a full-time poet, for
sure. Sure. But this one had a very hectic life. He had lots of successes, but at the same time, lots of failures.
Oh, dear.
And he's also had a lot of poems. Okay. His poems are brilliant, and he left 107 of them to the world.
Goodness.
Yeah. And these are a little bit different. So E.E. was very poetic about nature. You're going to be seeing a different side. And these poems are not connected. These are five individual poems. They
don't
have titles.
Okay.
We're going to be reading five of his poems to get a taste of his thoughts on the world and his poetic style.
All right, let's check out Jong Jo.
What happens if you pull down beams and supports? A host of opinions greet the leaning skeleton house. Carpenters with rulers and ink keep milling around. The tree is diseased. No one rests in its pavilion. When it stood tall and verdant, no one passed it by, but the leaves have fallen. The boughs are broken. Not even birds perch there now. A sudden shower splatters the lotus leaf, but I cannot find the track of water. I wish my heart were like that leaf, that nothing ever stained it. I'm 50 now, no longer young, yet wherever I go, at the mere sight of wine, I break into a broad, toothy grin. Why? Why? Wine is an old, old acquaintance. I can never forget him. When the Paulownia leaves fell, I knew it was autumn. A fine drizzle falls on the blue river. The night air is chilly. I left my love 1,000 li away. I cannot sleep tonight.
This all seems from a similar, maybe not literal time in his life, but when things have been better and perhaps past his peak, maybe physically, but also in his career as well.
And his love life.
It does seem like that as well. The only grin that we see is to the sight of wine.
Yeah.
Maybe he liked a good tipple.
Yeah, and the poems in this book, the ones that Kevin O'Rourke has chosen to feature, they're all pretty cynical.
Mm.
He's got a very cynical outlook on life, and I thought it was a really good contrast from E.E. praising everything to Chong Cho going, well, actually, life's not so good.
Maybe it once was. Maybe the tree wasn't diseased or the supports and beams hadn't been pulled down, but now it's
well, downhill. This is interesting. These first two are sort of political satire, political commentary. The first one that talks about the pulling down of the beams and the supports and the carpenters are milling around. It's referencing what it was like in the court, how chaotic it was during a crisis.
Uh-huh.
So it's that feeling of the panic in the palace as they're trying to deal with the invasion of the Japanese.
I see, yeah. Because, you know, a lot of the time back in the day, you couldn't directly criticise governments and people high up. But even in the UK as well, there was all that political satire and plays and poems.
Yeah, you find a way to get your message across. And it's the same with the second one, The Diseased Tree.
Mm.
Is actually referencing, well, a diseased politician.
Uh-huh.
Political corruption and fall from grace.
Yeah.
How maybe when you were pure and innocent, nobody noticed you, but once you started taking the money or doing deals, then, well, you're in trouble and you're going to rot away.
No birds are going to perch there anymore.
Yeah. And then the third, talking about the leaf and how even though there's water splattering, he can't find the tracks of it.
Yeah.
And he wants his heart to be like that. It's a little more melancholic, a little more romantic.
Yeah, if you've ever seen a lotus leaf, it's amazing, isn't it? The water just completely, it's like it's a waterproof surface.
Yeah.
And it just goes. You don't know where it went. Yeah, sometimes.
Well, the water went in the pond.
No, it might sometimes collect in the little, like, shallow part of the leaf as a big bulbous.
No, he said there's no tracks on the leaf.
All right.
All right.
But
the
sometimes.
Fourth one about the wine is, I find, quite darkly funny. You know, him talking about getting old, but when he meets his old friend, the wine, he smiles, he has a toothy grin. And then the final one, I think, is the saddest of all five. That, you know, he's cynical and he's caustic in his writing, but at this point, we see that he's actually a true romantic as he talks about being unable to sleep because he knows his love is 1,000 li away.
Li used to be that measurement of distance, right?
Miles and miles and miles.
Could be literally like far away, or maybe they've passed away. Maybe they're no longer available to him, whatever it is.
Your poetry analysis is getting much better, Peter.
I am into the classics, yeah. Shijo is my thing.
That chat with Mark Peterson really changed you.
It's changed my life.
Yeah, so I think this is amazing because you think, oh, Shijo, it's all going to be the same. But you look at these two poets and their style, even though they're writing the same Shijo, the feeling of it is completely different.
Uh-huh.
And we've got another poet as well who I think brings a different style to it as well. So our third one that we're going to hear after the song break, his name was An Min-young, and he was one of the last great Shijo poets, according to Kevin O'Rourke.
Yeah.
And in the book, we get this gorgeous 8-poem series called Song of the Plum. And of course, because time doesn't allow it, I can't read you all 8. However, I will read you 5 of the 8 so you can get a taste of An Min-young's beautiful Shijo poetry.
All right.
You have indeed bloomed in fulfillment of your snow pledge. The moon rises in the gloaming, shadows appear, clear fragrance floats in the cup. I'll enjoy myself till I'm drunk. I didn't believe you on that weak, scraggy branch. You've kept your snow pledge too. 3 flowers have bloomed, candle in hand, I approach in admiration. A delicate fragrance wafts through the air. Ice, crystal, jade, bead, that's you in the snow, gently losing your fragrance in a tryst with the twilight moon. For elegance and nobility of spirit, you stand alone. The sun goes down, the moon rises. Was it so pledged with you? Flowers asleep in the bedroom release a fragrant greeting. Plum and moon are friends. Why didn't I know? Plum shadows hit the window, hit the slanted gold pin in a beauty's hair. 2 or 3 white-haired old men enjoy the gomungo and a song, and when they pass the wine cup around, the moon rises too.
I don't know if Phyllis getting a bit racy there. Maybe it was the music in the background, but is he really talking about plums for all these poems?
Yeah, 8 poems about plums, and we got
like
5 of them.
Literal plums.
Yeah, the Song of the Plum. Because these shijo were made for a party.
Oh.
A party hosted in the mountain home of his teacher, Park Hyo-gwan.
Okay.
And Park Hyo-gwan grew very good plums. So oh. Anne came to the party because okay. they were going to be served plum wine.
Lovely.
And he wanted to praise his master, his uh-huh. teacher, and glory at these gorgeous plums.
Oh, literally. And then having a tipple, having a little party, listening to the come and go song.
Exactly. You know, E.E. was having a bit of a quiet one.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like An Min-young is having a right rager, a big party.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Yeah, and what's fascinating is you had these two, Anne and Park, and they had a really close relationship. Anne had a problem.
Oh.
He wasn't a yangban.
Oh, but he's still done this poetry.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he was able to work with Park, mm-hmm. and sort of therefore he was able to start to get in with the shijo community, and they actually compiled a very important shijo anthology together. And again, here we get the appreciation of nature, but also you can imagine how he sung this, standing up, red-faced, glass of plum wine in his hand, singing to a room full of ruddy-faced party guests as they all celebrate Master Park and his beautiful plums.
In the beauty's hair, the gold pin, that took my attention as well. You can imagine some lovely ladies entertaining as well.
I'm looking more at the plums.
Sorry. In the gloaming as well. I had to look that up. I've never heard that
word
in my life.
It's an archaic term. We don't use it anymore in the UK, but it was used in the past.
Like twilight or dusk, it says in the dictionary. I never knew that at all. The gloaming sounds rather haunting. That could be a horror film title, I feel.
Probably has been at some point.
Probably, you are right. So that is the 3 poems, Done and Dusted.
Yeah.
Shijo, that's your introduction, guys.
Yeah, and there are 3 more poets to discover within the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really good introduction to some of the greatest poets we ever had in Korea. And it's a really good place to start. If you're worried about, you know, I don't know if I can get into traditional Korean poetry, this is where you can go. And the great thing about shijo is it's short.
Mm.
It's not some long, epic poem like Homer, for example,
with
the Odyssey.
One verse.
Yeah, it's 5 lines in the translation. Mm-hmm. The other really good thing is there's the Korean alongside the English.
Oh, great.
So if you're interested in seeing how it was translated, this is really good. There are some hanja in there, some Chinese characters.
Really? Just left in their original form?
Because the hangul can have several meanings.
Yeah.
So sometimes in brackets you've got the hanja to clarify what the meaning is.
Mm.
But if you're a Korean learner and you're interested in that, it's a really good thing.
Mm.
And if you love K-pop, this is a really good way to get into where K-pop comes from. Because K-pop did not form in a bubble.
No.
You know, BTS and Tableau and Blackpink didn't just pop out of nowhere. They come from a long tradition of music and song and story and poetry. And I think if you look at BTS's videos, for example, where they sometimes reference Korean traditional culture and dance and history.
Instruments and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a whole world to explore. And I think as more and more people come to Korea and are excited about Korean culture, as your best friend Mark Peterson is saying, we should be spreading the word about shijo so that people can start to get a deeper understanding of Korea. It's one thing to like K-dramas and K-pop and K-movies and K-food.
Mm.
It's another to start to understand where these traditions came from and how they've influenced more modern products in Korea.
Absolutely. And shijo have such a long history back to the Goryeo dynasty.
Yeah. So it's I mean, this is, we in the UK we've got Shakespeare, you know, in America is Mark Twain. In Korea we've got shijo poets and more.
Yeah, I love this. Absolutely.
I'd also like to issue an official apology to the other 3 long dead poets that we didn't feature them on this week's show.
Sorry to you.
Maybe
guys.
Next time.
Yeah, check out Chong Mong Ju's shijo. That's the one that I was talking about someone.
Not in this book.
Not in this book, unfortunately. You can find it on the Wikipedia page of shijo in general, and it's really, I don't know, haunting in a way. It's just before he's going to be executed, I believe. A 1-line review of this book, Paul.
A beautifully translated look at at some of Korea's older poetry and a great introduction to the form.
Indeed it is. Check it out and let us know as well. Whenever we preview a book or we talk about it on the show, if you then do go and read it, please let us know what you thought, good or bad.
Yeah.
We'd love to get your
feedback.
It's why
I give you the book a week in advance, just in case you want to. Shall I give the book in advance?
Next week's.
Dalagut Dream Department Store by Mie Lee, translated by Sandy Joo-sun Lee. This was a huge bestseller here in Korea. I'm hoping it's going to be a huge bestseller all around the world. It came out very recently.
Okay.
This is another one of those cozy. It's going to be a good read for a winter night. Dalagut Dream Department Store.
When you said, you know, shall I give next week's book? And I was like, oh, next week's book. I hadn't answered yes. So if you're going to be polite, you should wait for me to either say yes or no, give you permission to preview it or not, okay? Next time, just for next time. Don't worry, I don't hold a grudge, so I'll let you off. Thank you so much for your readings today, Paul. It's a very evil stare. Guys, help me out. Paul's been not very nice with his glare. Shall I thank the Literature Translation Institute of Korea then?
I don't know if you finished your sentence yet.
I wait for your answer.
Thanks as always to Literature Translation Institute of Korea for the help with copyright permission for our broadcast. Thanks to all the writers for their beautiful poetry and to Kevin O'Rourke for his translation. If Peter lets me, I'll be back next week with another book.
I am very kind. That's
not what your kids say.
Thank you, Paul. We'll see you next Wednesday. You can listen to Check It Out with Paul Matthews on Arirang Radio's hashtag Daily K every Wednesday from 10 a.m. KST.